It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just
well, welcome
down
to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, a licensed nutritionist. And today's show is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you life-changing information. We have so much to share today, and I am really excited because I believe you will gain even more respect for eating healthy today. You know, a healthy diet of lean meat, vegetables, and good fat. And joining me today as our co-host is Brenna Thompson. Brenna is a registered and licensed dietitian and sees clients at our Maple Grove location and also at our North Oaks office. So, Brenna, as we know, every week, new research and information is in the spotlight, isn't it?
It's lots of
new information coming out.
And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's
not so good. So we want to look at some practical information that came out this past week, don't we?
We do, yes. And did you know that protein, especially tuna, beef, chicken, eggs, and whey, prevents age-related muscle loss? So this was back in August, the issue of the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. The protein amount recommended for people 60 and older should be increased in order to maintain their muscle mass.
Now, the suggested amount of protein for both men and women should increase to about 4 ounces of animal protein at each meal. So probably a little bit more for men, you know, probably more like
probably.
6 ounces.
Probably, yeah.
You know, this is an amount we've been recommending for several years. So to reclaim muscle mass, I would suggest eating a couple of eggs for breakfast, you know, 2 ounces of meat or fish for a morning snack, which is, it's a stretch for people to think about eating protein for a snack. But then once they start, they love it, don't they?
They do. And sometimes I think they forget that that protein could count as cottage cheese or yogurt or a smoothie. So
right. So then, if you look at that again, you know, 4 ounces of animal protein for lunch, which could be, you know, again, that could be that tuna you mentioned, mm-hmm. or it could be salmon. And if you did some cottage cheese in the afternoon, or maybe, like you said, maybe like a whey protein shake.
Yep.
Or, and then for dinner, you know, a nice piece of salmon or a steak. So the total amount maintaining muscle mass is at least 12 ounces, maybe 14 ounces
yep.
a day.
Yes.
And we know a lot of our clients are having 3 or 4 ounces per day.
Yeah, per meal.
Per day.
Oh, per day. Yes, yes. Yep. That's.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting people to eat 3 or 4 ounces
per meal. But they come in, yes, and they are only eating about 3 or 4 ounces a day. So it's a huge jump.
Right.
It's a big jump. But if we don't eat enough protein by the time we are in our 70s, we may have lost around 20 to 40% of our strength.
That is huge, what you just said there.
That's a lot. You know, 20 to 40%.
20 to 40 of our strength.
Right.
Which means it's going to be harder for you to get up those stairs.
It is. Yep. Yeah. That's why a lot of those nursing homes are built on one level.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good connection. Yeah.
So let's face it, there's no medication that you can take to maintain muscle mass. The only answer is protein.
So I bet if there was a pill, they would be prescribing it all the time.
They would, but there isn't.
So why don't they prescribe more protein?
I don't know.
Okay. So if, you know, so it's really interesting. If you lose your muscle mass and strength, you know, again, I look at this. How am I going to carry my grandchildren up the stairs? And I think everybody needs to think of that. Or something up the stairs. Maybe even the grocery bags up the stairs.
I think the grocery bags is an important one.
Yes.
Because you got to get the protein up the stairs.
Yes. So, you know, before our show, you were talking to me about a study that you were part of or something?
No, I was actually at a nutrition conference,
okay.
and they were talking about the elderly being able to actually rebuild muscle. And so they went in and basically built a weightlifting gym. mostly with the circuit machine weights in a nursing home. And they taught the residents there how to use the machines, and then they encouraged them to eat enough protein. And they actually found that even in 90-year-old women, they were able to increase muscle mass and increase their strength.
And I think we have a lot of women that want to do that. You know, they're in their 70s, 80s, and they want to increase their strength.
Yes.
So that they have better balance and just better endurance.
Yeah. Yep.
So that sounds great.
It does. It's amazing that even at 90, we can still rebuild our muscle mass.
Good.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into our real topic of inflammation and heart disease, let's talk about urinary incontinence.
Well, that's an interesting topic.
I know. Yep. So did you know that about 60% of women in their 70s experience some type of incontinence?
You know, Brenna, you know, just because I tend to work with a lot of maybe, you know, women more my age.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big problem for a lot of women. And I'm not surprised when you say 60 to 70% of women experience this.
That's a large percentage.
Yes.
That's a lot. So in the past, maybe our doctors or our friends may have said, well, do Kegels. That's the answer. It'll strengthen your bladder muscle.
But what if you've been following this low-fat, low-protein, high-carbohydrate diet for a long time? You know, the diet promoted by the food pyramid. You
but
know?
It's now the My Plate.
Yes.
Yes.
We just learned that we need protein to make muscles. So low protein diets leave no muscles to be built by doing the Kegels. So if you want the Kegels to work, and they do, you know, then it's time to start eating 12 to 14 ounces of protein a day. Mm-hmm. And I bet not many people have made that connection.
Probably not. And there is more to the story. If you have followed a low-fat diet for years, your tissues will be dried out. And a dried out urinary tract doesn't expand and contract, so you can't stop or hold the urine. And you have more problems with incontinence and even with infections.
So basically, what we're really saying is most women, and probably even men, some men for mm-hmm. sure, could men tend to eat more protein, and they tend to eat more fat. Let's
yes.
face it.
Yep.
It's the women that are always on these low-fat, low-protein diets
mm-hmm.
because they think that that's a way to maintain a lower weight or lose weight or whatever they're trying to do.
And it's what all the magazines would recommend for them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So then it's leading to low muscle mass and to incontinence.
Yep.
So well, you can change that. I mean, you know, I mean, this is what we teach in our weight and wellness classes all the time, how to change that. So traditionally, it's just amazing. People have eaten and needed, really needed, about a tablespoon of good fat per mm-hmm. meal and snack. So when you start to think about that, that means that people need 6 to 7 tablespoons of fat per day. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do it all in butter or all in olive oil.
Nope.
I mean, you can do it in some nuts or...
some nut butters like peanut butter, almond butter, or cream cheese.
Or avocados or guacamole.
Olives.
You know,
yeah.
There's a million ways to get in this healthy fat. But again, when you stop and think about it, it supports your tissue health. Mm-hmm. And then the protein supports your muscle mass and all your muscles.
Yes.
Those little muscles that are important for preventing urinary incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
There's a whole topic.
There was a whole topic. My goodness. But let's actually get into our real topic today, which is inflammation and heart disease. And for years, we've been told to watch our fat intake and cholesterol to prevent heart disease. Cholesterol is not the problem.
Oh, you said a big sentence there.
I know. We just, oh, man, at Thanksgiving, we almost got into it over this.
So the real cause of heart disease is inflammation. And you say inflammation. You know, if you're saying that to yourself, what you might be saying, so what is causing inflammation in my body and blood vessels? So again, what I'm really saying is, the real villain in heart disease isn't fat or cholesterol.
Nope.
But it's sugar and other processed carbohydrates. And my friend Faye would say, I knew she was going to talk about sugar again today.
But... it's a hot topic.
And, you know, most Americans, especially during the holidays, you know, this time of the year, they eat a diet that's really high in sugar. And if they start to think about this, mm-hmm. they're actually giving themselves heart disease in record numbers, aren't they?
That's kind of scary.
So we're still okay with time, I think?
We are, yep. So we're going to keep going here. So heart disease is the number one killer of people. So how does sugar cause heart disease?
Yes, I mean, that's a big question. You know, it's not cholesterol.
Nope.
But it's sugar.
It's sugar. So sugar contributes to the inflammation of the lining of the blood vessels. Sugar is an inflammatory substance, just as smoking is an inflammatory substance, just as bread and pasta are inflammatory, and sugar causes heart disease, or sugar causing heart disease could be a very new thought for people. So
Definitely.
We're going to let them think on that, sugar causing heart disease.
Okay.
And you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Hard to believe, but there is only 2 Christmas shopping days left. So I might suggest a gift certificate for a class or counseling session at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. When you spend $100, you receive a $125 gift certificate. In fact, you could buy a gift certificate for your special person and one for yourself so you could go to the classes together. Make it a date night or a girls' night out and get healthy together. To order your gift certificates, call 651-699-3438. And if you have questions today about heart disease, please give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Thanks to Nutritional Weight and Wellness, I no longer suffer from heartburn. Linda from Houston, Texas.
I have less joint pain and more energy. John from Portland, Oregon.
My moods are better and my anxiety is gone. Jennifer from Chicago.
Nutritional Weight and Wellness has helped clients all over the country achieve better health with therapeutic nutrition counseling, and they can help you too. You don't have to live in the Twin Cities to benefit from a consultation because they work with clients nationally through phone and Skype appointments. All you have to do is make the time, and Nutritional Weight and Wellness will provide the plan and support. Therapeutic nutrition counseling from Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you with diabetes, anxiety, low moods, menopause, arthritis, digestive issues, autoimmune conditions, and so much more. For information on scheduling a phone or Skype nutrition counseling appointment, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or go to weightandwellness.com. That's weightandwellness.com.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you have 10 pounds to lose or 100 pounds to lose or even 200 pounds to lose, we have the solution to your weight problem. Starting the week of January 14th, we're offering our very successful Nutrition for Weight Loss program at many different locations and at many different times and very convenient times and locations. You know, it's you eat real foods to control cravings. You eat real foods to boost your metabolism. We have great group support. We have wonderful, knowledgeable, and caring nutrition educators. And to learn more or to sign up, call 651-699-3438. Or actually, you can register online at weightandwellness.com. And Brenda, you're going to be teaching?
I am. I'm going to be teaching our Nutrition for Weight Loss at our Maple Grove location starting, I believe, February 15th.
Okay.
And this will be a kind of Friday 11 to noon time. So maybe you need to take an early lunch,
mm-hmm.
drop the kids off at the grandparents and come on over
okay.
or do something so that you can come over to Maple Grove and visit me and the rest of my lovely participants as we learn about eating real foods to help you stick with maybe some New Year's resolutions.
So I know you and Aura Lee just finished up a series. Was that in North Oaks?
Or? It was. We just finished up a series in North Oaks. We had a great group, loved them all. And we had a very interesting story with that. And if you mm-hmm. have a computer, check out Facebook, our lovely Weight and Wellness Facebook page, because one of our participants had been battling rheumatoid arthritis for a long time and had a lot of pain and inflammation in her hands. Well, after she took our pain and inflammation class and she met with me and we had a one-on-one consult and then she started taking our Nutrition for Weight Loss. After about 5 or 6 weeks, she came in and she had a bag full of scarves. Mm-hmm. And she gave these, kind of let Aura Lee and I pick out a scarf and we had our scarves and we were wearing them. And there's a great picture of us with them on Facebook. But she was telling us how before she had so much inflammation in her hands that she couldn't knit. And it was something that she enjoyed doing. And all of a sudden, after a couple of weeks of eating real foods, changing her diet, the inflammation went away and she could knit again.
Oh, how wonderful. That's a great change your life story.
It was. It was
change
very
your nutrition
touching.
Into change your life story. That's a great story. So, you know, we were talking about heart disease, weren't we, before break?
We were. Yes.
So should we continue to talk about that?
I think we should.
Okay. So, you know, we were really talking about the fact that eating all this sugar, and people don't even realize when they're eating all this sugar that they are really causing heart disease the inflammation in their blood vessels, which leads to heart disease. And it's that's one of the things that we teach in our weight and wellness classes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that process. Suddenly it's not your heart muscle. Yes, it's your heart muscle not getting the oxygen and the blood to it. But what causes that? It's the blood vessel problem.
We always go back to the cause.
So, you know, we talked about heart disease is actually the number one killer, isn't it?
It is.
So let's go back to how, you know, sugar actually contributes to heart disease. And I guess I'd like to kind of explain this a little bit.
Okay.
Heart disease causes inflammation in the blood vessels. And I think that is kind of a new concept for a lot of people. And, you know, we have kind of in the center of your blood vessels or on the lining of your blood vessels, you have this tissue that is very sensitive tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And different things can cause this inflammation. And you mentioned it before. You talked about smoking can cause that inflammation. You talked about, you know, sugar can cause the inflammation. And we're going to talk about other ways, other things that causes this inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So when we eat a diet that's high in sugar, such as, you know, maybe cereal for breakfast.
Wait, what about Cheerios?
Yeah, well, it's basically Cheerios turns into sugar in your system. So maybe if you eat like the recommended dose, like a dose, which I mean, you know,
serving
is like, I think 3/4 of a cup. But whoever stops with 3/4 of a cup of
Cheerios? I sure didn't.
Yes. So, you know, if you eat that for breakfast or if you eat a sandwich and chips for lunch, and maybe you have a big Coke with that.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things lead to sugar. And maybe in the middle of the afternoon, you have a bag of M&Ms for snack.
Oh.
And then for dinner, you would have pasta, you know, and with maybe for a snack at night,
popcorn or ice cream.
So we really have a high blood sugar levels, which, you know, when you have high blood sugar levels, then the pancreas will produce excess insulin, which then creates damage and inflammation in our blood vessels.
Right, because that insulin, it makes our blood vessels constrict.
Yes.
It makes them smaller, which drives up our blood pressure.
Yes, which is another one that causes more inflammation in our blood vessels.
Yep.
Just keeps going on, doesn't it?
It does. It's a vicious cycle because that excess sugar, that excess insulin, lead to excess body fat and often to diabetes, a condition that continually irritates the blood vessel lining, which again causes more inflammation.
So again, I think people are saying, what is wrong with inflammation in the blood vessels? Well, here's another example that maybe you can kind of wrap your head around. If we sprain an ankle or we have a rash or a bug bite, that affected area swells up and we know we have inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
The inflammation in our blood vessel lining swells the lining, causing small microscopic tears, which is then repaired with cholesterol, just like it's supposed to be. But the real problem starts with the inflammation, not with the cholesterol. It starts with the inflammation and the swelling in the blood vessel lining. And it's those little microscopic tears that creates the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and many times you can feel inflammation, but you may not be able to see it, such as the pain associated with a headache. So,
yeah, like a migraine or any kind of headache.
Any kind of headache. You can't see it, but whoever's got it can certainly feel it. And there are times when you cannot see or feel the inflammation, but it may still be there.
So one of those times when we can't feel inflammation is when we develop cardiovascular disease. You know, this is why it's known as cardiovascular disease is known as a silent killer, because we can't feel that inflammation in our blood vessels.
No, not until it gets really bad and maybe we start having a heart palpitation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But what causes inflammation? Well, cardiologist Dr. Steven Sinatra points his finger at sugar and processed carbs.
So we're not the only ones.
Nope.
A lot of known cardiologists are saying this, aren't they?
They are. It's getting more and more known. And we know that there are also other causes such as trans fats. The margarine contained that maybe this is the margarine that we would know as Promise or I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
Mm-hmm.
The Country Crock. These are all trans fats. And at one point we may have thought that they were healthy, but they actually cause inflammation every time we spread it on our toast or we try and fry something in them. Because all of these margarines, these tub butter-like spreads, they actually contain approximately 11 ingredients in them. 11 ingredients to make those.
And compare butter.
Butter. So my butter at home has one ingredient.
Okay.
It's cream.
So when we think of that, mm-hmm. Well, so I've got a question for you, Brenna. So people I think might be asking, okay, you know, I thought margarine was good, and you guys have been telling me that I should switch to butter, so I've switched to butter now, but I still don't understand what is the problem with margarine? What's the problem with trans fats? Because, you know, I know from listening to the show that trans fats are in that morning muffin that I like to get at the coffee shop.
Well,
possibly at least. You know,
maybe,
probably.
Yeah.
Not
yes.
Every muffin, but a lot of the muffins.
A lot of them. Or if we're getting them from the store, they're probably going to have trans fats in them. These trans fats, they make our cells crusty. So we talked about how if we have inflammation in our blood vessels and we create these little micro tears, we repair them with cholesterol. Well, trans fats, if they're floating through our bloodstream, they start to build up on that cholesterol, and that makes a hard plaque in our blood vessel.
Okay.
And it's that hard plaque that doesn't let our blood vessels expand and contract.
Okay, so now how my brain works, we were talking about urinary incontinence at the beginning of the show, and you talked about trans fats causing crusty cells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, again, that's going to affect our incontinence because our cells are not going to be flexible the way they should be. And there we are. We're back to urinary incontinence.
Yes.
From heart disease.
Who knew? Who knew? But you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. And we are proud to let people know that we are taking our weekend weight and wellness series on the road. The weekend of February 2nd and 3rd, 2013, we will be in Duluth, Minnesota. And the weekend of March 2nd and 3rd, 2013, we will offer the weekend weight and wellness series in Maple Grove. And nurses, you can earn 14.4 continuing education credits, and you can learn life-changing information. These classes are based on scientific research, but taught in a life-changing interactive style. Nutrition that makes sense and is easy to apply. So call 651-699-3438 to sign up today.
And if you have a question for us about heart disease or inflammation.
Or urinary incontinence.
Yes. 651-641-1071. We'll be back in a minute. Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you have a question about heart health, call us today at 651-641-1071. And I'd also like to invite you to an open house in our Maple Grove office. And that's going to be Saturday, January 5th. And it's going to be from 10 to 2. And we're going to have classes. And Brent is going to be teaching one of the classes. And Cassie is going to be teaching in Maple Grove. And those are free classes. And we're going to have Greg Peterson, who, you know, he's been a frequent guest on Dishing Up Nutrition. And he's sort of our supplement guy, our supplement expert.
He's so interesting to listen to.
And I'm going to be there, you know, talking about, you know, answering questions, more nutrition questions and meeting people. And I really want to meet everyone. And I want to thank you for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. We're going to have some prizes. We've got special shopping bags and hopefully just lots and lots of fun. So
it is going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be January 5th between 10 and 2. And so we've been talking about the causes of inflammation, and we talked about how sugar causes inflammation in the blood vessels. We've talked about how trans fats create inflammation. And there's other causes of inflammation.
There's a lot of them.
High blood pressure. That really causes a lot of inflammation. Viral and bacterial infections. Even the bacterial infections that's linked to gum disease. And that's why people need to make sure that they have healthy gums. That could be a cause. Lots of different reasons.
There are. And there are other infections such as H. pylori, which would cause just chronic reflux, chronic heartburn.
Yes.
For people.
And that's something that if people are having signs and symptoms of that and it's not related to a food sensitivity, it might be this
H. pylori.
Yes.
Yep. Chlamydia or even herpes can result in inflammation of the blood vessels. So all of these can lead to heart disease.
So it is kind of simple when how you understand this, how an infection would cause inflammation. Whenever our immune system attacks and destroys a virus or a bacteria, it ends up leading to inflammation. Wherever that bacteria or virus ends up in our body, if it's in our sinuses, then we get inflammation. It's in our blood vessels, we get inflammation. So it's really, really important to maintain a healthy immune system to keep these viral and bacterial infections really locked under, locked up so that we don't end up getting inflammation in our blood vessels. And again, we don't even know we've got it because it's going to damage an area in your blood vessels. And then what happens is we need cholesterol to come out and patch up that damaged area.
That's right.
So we need that cholesterol.
We do need cholesterol. It's a good thing. We just need to, if our cholesterol is high, we need to find out why it's high. Mm-hmm. What's causing it to go up? And oftentimes, for many of my clients, it's sugar and processed carbs that is the real villain to increasing their heart disease and increasing their cholesterol. It's not the cholesterol causing the heart disease. It's the sugar.
Yes.
It's the sugar and the processed carbs.
So before we go on, I know we had a caller that asked if we were going to, we've got this open house in Maple Grove, and she called and asked if we were going to have an open house in St. Paul. And yes, as we go along through the year, we're planning to have an open house at each one of our offices on a Saturday morning, and probably some days we'll be out there with our show early in the morning, and people can stop by and say hello to us.
So, yeah.
So again, you just said that sugar is really the villain, isn't it?
It is.
So, again, I think this information about inflammation may be a big pill for most people to swallow as the cause of heart disease. In the past, people were willing to give up their eggs because they were told that eggs raise cholesterol. But to give up their sugar is not information that they really want to hear, especially during the holiday season.
Oh, my gosh, no. That's a hard one. And we have a caller.
Okay. I hope she has a hard question for us today.
Me too.
Maybe it's a he, though.
Is this Miss Eileen?
Yes.
Hi, Eileen. You're on Dishing Up Nutrition, and you have a question for us?
Yeah, what do you know about lymphatic edema, where you swell up all over?
Well, I think it's a form of inflammation, I believe. And so what you have to look at is this is how I would look at it nutritionally. I'd eliminate sugar out of your diet. I would eliminate flour. And, especially grains and rice and all those things, because you've got to get that glucose level down in your system and, get rid of the trans fats, get rid of all the unhealthy things that cause the swelling and the collection of the fluid. And, you might still have some occurring in your body, but you can eliminate a lot of that when you do that. And it's, you know, and again, it's not, it's kind of simple way of eating. It's a simple way. It's like eating real meat. And it's even important to eat, get meat that doesn't have hormones and antibiotics in it. So, you know, grass-fed meat is best. Fish, you know, and again, wild-caught fish is probably the best. And eating, and I wouldn't even eat any dairy products if I was going to get rid of this, these symptoms. Just eat lean meats, you know, lots and lots of vegetables, and vegetables that are more grown organically or in your own garden. And then eat healthy fats like olive oil and avocados and those kinds of things. And just eliminate all that other stuff.
Okay.
Now that is a big...
I don't know what... You know, it gradually starts where you ride in the car for a long time, your legs start swelling up.
Sure, yep.
And then you use the compression hose.
Yep.
And then you discover that, boy, you look like you've been in the battle when you take them off.
So I would suggest, I really, you know, people with these conditions really need to come in for a nutrition consultation so that people, you can work with somebody, because what I just said sounds easy. It is not easy to do. It is. It's a difficult and you need support.
Coming Christmas here.
Yeah, you know, you need support to do this. And I, you know, it's but it works. That's
okay,
the difference.
Well, thank you.
Great call. I appreciate
call
this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Eileen.
So that was a good question.
That was a good question.
And it's interesting how powerful this nutrition can be on. Mm-hmm. Major health problems.
Yeah. And that swelling, that edema, can be very difficult to deal with and very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the past, the American Dietetics Association, now known as the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, said that there was no such thing as good or bad food. We could eat anything we wanted to as long as it was in moderation.
Yes.
That tricky word. What is moderation? But recently, researchers are finding and clearly telling us that sugar and trans fats damage our cells, they cause inflammation, and they should be avoided.
Do you think that any, well, I mean, some people can eat sugar in moderation, mm-hmm. but I don't know how many of our clients can eat sugar in moderation.
Very few of them.
But most people, once they start...
They can't stop.
They can't stop. Mm-hmm. And that's whether it's sugar or whether it's... So you think sugar, I think fudge right away. Or it's Christmas cookies.
Yeah, right now it would be Christmas cookies or the chocolate-covered pretzels, any of those.
Yes.
But it could also be pasta or bread or cereal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Most people cannot eat that in moderation.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think time for a break.
Okay.
Well, you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have questions about heart disease, call us at 651-641-1071. This is a wonderful time to remember that nutrition is important to prevent heart disease. Nutrition is important to prevent depression, especially here in the winter. And nutrition is important to prevent diabetes. And it's important to prevent cancer and to prevent Alzheimer's. What we're saying is nutrition is important.
It is important.
So important.
And we'll be right back.
If you're like me, you try to eat right, but the definition of healthy eating seems like a moving target. Should I eat low carb or low fat? Do eggs and butter raise my cholesterol? Is coffee good after all? Don't rely on sound bites and infomercials for something as important as your health. You deserve recommendations based on biochemistry. Nutritional Weight and Wellness is offering MyTalk 107.1 listeners a complimentary e-newsletter that is chock full of nutrition information and tips. The Weight and Wellness Way newsletter provides sound information and practical strategies from a nutritionist's perspective. Learn a natural approach to healthy eating based on real whole foods you buy at the grocery store. All this, and best of all, it's free. To subscribe to the complimentary Weight and Wellness Way e-newsletter, go to weightandwellness.com and enter your email address. Then watch your inbox every month for nutrition news and special offers that will help you look and feel your best. For information on other services at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, call 651-699-3438.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, as you reflect over this holiday season and decide that you want your health to be better, I encourage you to learn how nutrition can change your life, and then the real key is to practice what you have learned so you can prevent heart disease, depression, diabetes, obesity, cancer, Alzheimer's, hot flashes, osteoporosis, you know, and really be the person you have always wanted to be. And that's kind of what our goal is for people. And we have callers?
We do have callers.
All right. We'll take a couple of questions.
Hello, you're on Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello? Nope.
All right. Try someone else.
Okay. Hello, you're on Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
I do. What is the connection between low vitamin D levels and inflammation? Is there a connection there at all?
Sure, there is. Vitamin D, and you can pop in with on this too, Brenna.
Okay.
Vitamin D is involved in every cell in our body. So when we have deficiencies in cells, I believe there would be then a connection to inflammation.
Well, and vitamin D is important for, I think, just about every function you can think of. It's important for our brain health. It helps prevent cancer. If you can think of it and it's related to health, vitamin D is involved. So if we don't have enough, we won't have good cell protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Nice question. So should we take another caller while we're...
Okay. Hello, you're on Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Nope.
I guess let that one... We'll let that one go.
I think so.
All right. So before we went on break and everything, we were talking about eating in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
One of our nutrition heroes, Dr. Walter Willett, and he's the researcher and he's a nutrition chair of the Harvard School of Public Health. You know, at a recent symposium, he said, given that 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese, heart disease is the number one killer, and type 2 diabetes is on the rise, it seems that moderation, that moderation message is misunderstood and frankly outdated. He understands that sugar and processed carbs are so addicting that a large percentage of the population cannot eat in moderation. I mean, it's the same thing that we find, and that sugar creates an all or nothing monster, and usually it is an all monster.
Mm-hmm.
The more sugar, the better is what they say.
It is, and many of the clients that I see say, once they start eating processed high-carb foods, it's almost impossible to stop. And what we can do to prevent or reduce inflammation in our blood vessels is to stop eating these high-processed, high-sugar foods. And frankly, no one wants to have a heart attack or a stroke, so it all goes back to how you nutritionally support your blood vessels. And we suggest to be on the lookout for ways to reduce sugar in your diet.
So... beware of high fructose corn syrup. This corn-based sweetener is used in thousands of foods. So we thought we would give you some suggestions on how you can cut down on eating excess carbs and sugars.
Mm-hmm. So rather than maybe ketchup, which usually contains a lot of high fructose corn syrup or sugar, maybe switch to mustard. Or if you want something else, about some hot sauce or some salsa.
Yeah.
Instead of ketchup. And we do have a caller. Do you want to?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Is this Miss Pamela?
It is. It is.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
And you have a question?
I do. Can you comment on if there's a correlation or relationship between free radicals, antioxidants, and heart disease?
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. That's a whole show.
Yep.
Brenna, go for it.
Okay, so your free radicals, these are, as Nell would put it, these are the flying ninja stars that go through our body. They might come from maybe just metabolism, or they would come from other...
Smoking.
Or toxins in our environment,
such as
trans fats and sugar, and they damage our cells. They damage all the cells in our body, especially in our blood vessels. Now, those are the free radicals. Your antioxidants would be certain vitamins or minerals like vitamin C and vitamin E or selenium. All of these come in and they help to neutralize or wipe out those free radicals.
And so anytime you get a free radical that damages that blood vessel lining, you're going to have inflammation.
So would ketones be an example of free radicals? Or are they one and the same or totally different?
They are totally different.
Okay.
Yeah, totally different. You know, think of smoking, sugar, processed foods, trans fats, DDT, any of those environmental factors.
Okay.
So that's a good question.
Very good question.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So again, we were talking about, okay, how do you get this sugar out of your diet? You know, rather than juice, and that's what a lot of kids are drinking, juice, switch to mineral water and add a little lime or a little lemon for taste. Or really, another thing you can do is you could just put a little bit of juice in mineral water and have kind of like a spritzer.
Yeah, I love doing that in the summer. That's delicious. And rather than, say, chocolate, milk chocolate, switch to 70% dark chocolate, which has much less sugar in it. And I feel that it's just more satisfying.
Yes, for most people. Switch your kids away from chocolate milk, which is really high in sugar, to organic whole milk.
Oh, and I used to drink chocolate milk every day at school.
And I think I recently looked that up, and it's these little cartons of chocolate milk at the school. I think it has 5 teaspoons of sugar in it, if I remember right.
That's a lot of sugar for those little kids.
Yes, and especially when they drink 2 or 3 at a time.
Yep.
15 teaspoons of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar in their little bodies. We do have another caller. Do we?
Okay, if we have time, if you think.
I think we got a little time.
Okay.
Good morning, Maureen. You're on Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about heart disease, and it sounds like it's an individual-based thing rather than being inherited. Every time I go to the doctor, they want to know, has anyone in your family had heart disease? And so what is heredity? What part does it play in it?
Well, I think it does play some part. I think there is a connection to some high blood pressure in your genetics. But 90% this is what research tells us. 90% of any disease state is what you are putting in your mouth or your nutrition and your lifestyle habits. So that means if you smoke, that affects it. If you don't move, that affects it. But what you're putting in your mouth every day, day after day, accounts for 90%. So the genetic part is only 10%, but there is that 10%. So that was a good question. Yeah. So, we always look at the food as the most powerful part of keeping you healthy. Mm-hmm. And it can often override your genetics.
And then you're talking about the protein and eating 2 eggs a day.
Right.
What do you think about egg beaters?
I think they have too many chemicals in them and they're not healthy.
They're not a real food.
Yeah. So you don't want to eat those. Yeah, we're really strict as far as getting real food. I mean, just real food. You know, eggs that, like, I grew up on, the chicken went out and laid the eggs and they were out running around outside, and these were great healthy eggs. So thanks for the caller.
Okay, call.
We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen.
So let's go back to giving people some ideas as far as how you switch away from some of the sugar.
Yes. So rather than ordering pancakes or French toast, some of my old favorites, switch to eggs and sausage with a side of fruit, my new favorite.
Yes. And rather than Christmas cookies, set out a platter of olives and nuts and deviled eggs, and your guests will be so happy.
They will be thrilled. And here's one that I like to do. Instead of chips or pretzels or crackers, I put together a great tasting dip with veggies and sliced fruit, or maybe some slow roasted nuts and maybe even a little cream cheese. And another simple idea, this is my favorite bedtime snack actually, is sliced apples and peanut butter.
Sounds good.
Oh, it's delicious. Or almond butter.
And this is for all the grandmothers like I am. Rather than getting your kids, your grandchildren started on Cheerios for snacks, cut up pieces of cheese, cut up pieces of apple, pears, or even cut up grapes. And my grandchildren, Willow, Cedar, Rowan, and Lyndon, a little emotional, love avocado, cheese, and applesauce for a snack. So we want to wish you a very peaceful and healthy and loving holiday. And we're all going out, rather than making cookies, we're going to go make Swedish meatballs with gluten-free crumbs.
Yum. Any veggies?
Oh, yes. Roasted Brussels sprouts.
Ooh, yum.
Thanks, Brenna.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Life, I love you. All is groovy.
Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. The content and opinions expressed are those of the hosts or presenters. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Statements made with respect to products have not been evaluated by the FDA.